The book of Acts today, Acts chapter 1, as we begin a brand new study in a new book of the Bible. And as I have said since I started this series, Genesis through Revelation, this is probably my quickest trip through the scripture. When I first started teaching verse by verse back in, 30 years ago or so, 30, probably longer than that, 31 years ago, it took me 6 months to get through the four chapters in the book of Colossians. And then I started going through the entire Bible, and it took me a long time. And every time I've gone through the scripture, I've gone through at a faster speed. And I guess as I get older, my thinking is that it's not as important. What I have to say is not nearly as important as what God says. And that's why I want to touch on every single verse, with rare exceptions, you know, when there are lists of different things, like, for example, in the book of Numbers, stuff like that, then I will summarize. But otherwise, I don't summarize chapters. I read every verse because that's the important thing. And so in our journey through the scriptures from Genesis through Revelation, we come to the book of Acts. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, the former treatise, or writing, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The four Gospels only record the things that Jesus began to do. In the book of Acts, we're going to see Jesus continue his work through the Holy Spirit, through his word, and through Christians. Verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So Jesus gave instructions to the apostles, and the New Testament contains those instructions. By the Holy Spirit, and through the writings of the apostles in the New Testament, Jesus instructs us today. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 11 appearances of Christ after he was raised from the dead are recorded in Scripture. And that's probably just a small sample of the many times that he appeared. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, says he, you have heard of me. Now, Jesus did not want his apostles to preach the word of God until after they received the Holy Spirit. And that's because if we try doing something for Jesus on our own power, in our own power, we're not going to succeed. In order to accomplish anything for Jesus, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that he can work and speak through us. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. When John the Baptist baptized people, they were immersed in water. When Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to his people, they will be immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will cover them, the Holy Spirit will saturate them, and the Holy Spirit will control them. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In other words, they ask, are you going to set up your throne in Jerusalem and rule the whole world like the Bible teaches the Messiah will do? Are you going to do it now, Jesus? Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Notice he didn't say, it's not going to happen. He just said, it's not for you to know. God doesn't like us to ask when questions. I've noticed that in Scripture. God's business is to determine when something will happen. Our business is to focus on living for Him and trust that He's going to do the right thing at the right time. Let Him take care of the when. 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, don't try to figure out when Jesus is going to return. Don't try to figure out when He's going to set up His earthly kingdom. Some Christians spend way too much trying to calculate when Christ is going to return. That takes too much energy away from where their focus should be. Our focus as Christians should be on living holy lives and spreading the word of God before He does return, or we die, whichever comes first. Verse 9. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And the cloud that Jesus disappeared into is likely the same cloud which portrayed the presence of God throughout the Bible. It's called the Shekinah glory cloud. You know, I don't think Jesus traveled too far in this material universe as He ascended. When He hit that cloud, I think He was transferred to the spiritual realm and immediately reached heaven. He reached the presence of God, the Father, when He reached that cloud. Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. So two men suddenly appearing in white apparel is a dead giveaway to anyone who knows the Bible. They're angels. And by the way, did you notice that these angels are not named? They seldom are. They're seldom named in Scripture when they appear, and that's because their identity is not important. Their service to God is the important thing. They're not here to make a name for themselves, but to do the will of God. And so these angels will talk about Jesus, not about themselves. They don't introduce themselves. Sometimes that happens. Gabriel did that. Verse 11, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. And so the angels tell us right here that Jesus will return the same way He left. He left visibly and physically, and He will return visibly and physically. He disappeared into the clouds when He left, and the Bible teaches that He will return in the clouds when He comes back. Verse 12. Then returned they to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. A Sabbath day's journey was about a half a mile. And in Old Testament days, if you walked further than that on the Sabbath, the religious leaders would accuse you of sin. They actually had all sorts of man-made Sabbath regulations like that, which made life miserable for God's people. Verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. And this is probably the same room where Jesus and His men ate the Last Supper, and where Jesus appeared to them for two consecutive Sundays after the resurrection. This is where all the disciples stayed after our Lord's ascension. ascension, I should say. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So our Lord's brothers had been unbelievers until the resurrection, but they're here now. When they saw Christ after he was raised, that was it. From that point on, they became faithful followers of Jesus. And consequently, his brothers, along with his mother and other ladies who had followed Christ and all of his disciples, stayed in that room having a 10-day prayer meeting. 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and then in parentheses, the number of names together were about 120. And so Jesus, remember, he told Peter to take care of his sheep. And that's what Peter is doing right here as he presides over some church business. Remember, Peter had denied Christ three times, but he repented and God restored him. God demands holiness. But if we fail, he will still bless us and use us if we repent. And it's never too late to repent as long as you're alive. 16. Peter says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And so Peter reminds everyone that the scripture predicted that Judas would betray Jesus. Judas acted of his own free will, and he's accountable for his sin, and yet the scripture had to be fulfilled concerning the betrayal. So it was God's sovereignty, but it was also Judas's free will. And always remember that God's sovereignty doesn't eliminate our free choice, and it doesn't eliminate our accountability for the choices that we make. So Judas was accountable for his sin, even though God used it to bring about the salvation of man. 17, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Judas had a very real part in ministry. He preached, he baptized, he did miracles, and he also worked as the treasurer, which just goes to show that character, not religious works, is the proof that one belongs to Christ. Good works can be counterfeited. Judas did a very good job at counterfeiting those things, but true holy character cannot be counterfeited, and true character always eventually arises to the surface. 18. Now this man, Judas, purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. So we see that Peter gives us all the gory details concerning Judas. It's the way God wanted it. After the branch or the rope that he hung himself on broke, his rotting body smashed against a rock and broke open. Disgusting, I know. A very hideous end for a hideous sinner, which is why I believe God described it so graphically. Not every sinner who betrays the Lord or turns their back on him has a gross and disgusting physical death like Judas, but their soul falls into hell. Their soul certainly bursts open and rots even while they continue to live in the lake of fire. We'll pick it up here next time.